no matter how big or small. Behind every business are people.
This is brilliant. I really truly believe that I have some of the best clients out here on Long Island.
Lisa Mirabue makes sharing their stories her business.
Talking with the people that I work with so closely every day and how phenomenal I think they are, and then sharing them with everyone else is really special.
This is Marketing That Moves You from Vertigo Media Group.
Every week we're going to learn a little bit more from some amazing people.
With your host, Lisa Mirabue, heard right here on WMAP, the world's most amazing people.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Lisa Mirabue with Vertigo Media Group, and I have two really special guests here with me today. It's a hot topic for me, as I have two children, and I think it's a hot topic for a lot of you out there. And we're going to be talking about virtual education. According to UNESCO, billions of learners and educators around the world are affected by the long term of COVID-19. Many schools and universities, as you know, are trying to figure out what they're doing with their virtual educational programs and what their solutions are going to be. And this week, in New York at least, is the beginning of it. Today, we're exploring the benefits and the challenges of e-learning. I can't think of two better people to have on to discuss this topic. We have Dr. Robert Pearson, who's the chairperson at the Department of Education at the New York Institute of Technology, who was also the former superintendent of Garden City School District. And then Mark Alessi, who is a serial entrepreneur that is a tech maven. He's an attorney, an executive director at the Business Incubator Association of New York, and also the executive director at the Tesla Science Center at Wardenclyffe. Today, we're going to explore how New York Institute of Technology and the Tesla Science Center are partnering to help bridge the digital divide. Now, that digital divide is big, people, so we have to really try to understand what that is and how our educators can best communicate to the community and their students. The current pandemic is having a huge impact on education. Dr. Robert, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. And Mark, are you on with us as well?
I'm on.
All right.
Doing great.
That's great. So as you know, COVID is impacting education, right? This is the hot topic of today. I know my daughter was just online a little while ago trying to log on to her Zoom classes at her university. So I'd like to understand from you, Dr. Pearson, if you could explain, how is COVID impacting education right now?
Well, thank you again. I think it's really kind of accelerated a shift that was occurring anyway, and it's accelerated in a very dramatic fashion where we've really reconceptualized our understanding of teaching and learning. You know, if you think about your conception of a school or schooling, you think about the classroom, you think about the traditional schoolhouse. But we've really learned that learning can be much more flexible, that teaching can be much more flexible, that the time and the place and the delivery can vary. And COVID-19 has really accelerated that trend to take it out beyond the traditional schoolhouse walls.
What have you heard from some parents at the university level?
Well, I think the parents everywhere, no matter what the age of their children, have concern about their children's progress and development. This is no different than any other time in that regard. But, of course, it's accelerated and deepened because it's a novel situation. And I think the general approach for educators to take here is one of transparency and accessibility, to recognize that we have to over-communicate in this kind of set of circumstances, whether it's through traditional face-to-face methods, which of course are limited, but then again through email, through text messages, through shared websites, through video conferencing. We have to be as transparent as possible to allow parents to understand what their children will experience, are experiencing, and to exchange ideas about how best to deal with that. You know, in terms of P-12, preschool through high school,
right,
parents are now seeing education as they had never seen it before. You know, before they could ask the child, what'd you do in school today? And very often the answer was nothing, or not mm-hmm. much. But beyond that, they had a chance to maybe look at their homework, look at some textbooks, etc. But now they're often looking over the shoulder at the actual classroom work. They're looking at the teacher's work, the teacher's interchange with the student, the student's responses, what other students are doing, what the materials that they're using on a daily basis. So they really need to understand what the purpose context of all that is, and it's the educator's responsibility to do that.
So are the educators now communicating with the parents on a more one-on-one basis or on a more regular basis? And are you saying that parents are taking a more active role in this with the teachers?
I think what we teach at NYIT to our students is that very, very thing, that they have to be the lead people in that communication, that they can't sit back and wait for someone to contact them, like sending a note to the teacher one day. They really have to be out in front of it to engage parents on a regular basis. And we teach them how to do that through various modalities that are not only informative, but they're engaging for the parents just as they should be for the student.
I know that my daughter is experiencing that to the umpteenth degree at this point. The communication that she has with her teachers is much closer. I mean, school just started this week, and she's already had several conversations with her chemistry professor. So I do, yeah, it's great. And I do think that it is helping her not only to build a relationship, but it's about building a trust there. And to when she gets on to her Zoom, she's not so disconnected. And I think that that's what's important about that situation, is because she's having this relationship that's continuing while he's doing the lecture, or while she's participating in the lecture, I should say, because now there's the chat features that are on there, and they're having interactive conversations with the students while the teacher is also, you know, providing some of that education. So I think that, you know, technology is what's key here. But I just wanted to read you this one staggering statistic that I found online, and I wanted to get your take on it. The New York Department of Education had 300 learners in New York City alone that are without computers and internet. To me, when I read that, I was staggered. Like, that took me back. I had no idea that 300,000 in New York City alone are without computers and internet. How do we bridge this digital divide when we're dealing with something as drastic as that?
Yeah, I think that the pandemic has really revealed some big gaps in the way our society is knit together, especially in this digital age. And one of those gaps is clearly the digital divide. And I know school districts have been doing their utmost to get resources out to all students, whether it's distributing Chromebooks or iPads or providing hotspots. And that work needs to continue and deepen. We need to involve communities as a whole, I think, in this, in terms of providing more access. Obviously, it's not a problem just limited to schools, but we need to be able to provide hotspots. We need to be able to provide those resources to students who don't have them. I think in designing our approach to digital education, whatever subject it takes place, we also have to be cognizant of the fact that not every student is sitting in front of a laptop, which is available at all times. So when we construct our units of instruction and we present instruction to students, we have to be aware that they may have limited access. They may be working mostly from an iPad. They may be working mostly from a phone. And the lessons that are designed have to be able to fit into each of those platforms. And again, that's one of the things we work on at NYIT, in understanding technology as a whole rather than a series of apps, so that our educators are able to design lessons that are good for everyone.
I think that's really key and really important. I mean, there are so many struggles, right? You're not just now going on and learning and trying to pay attention, but you're dealing with the technology aspect that can be very cumbersome, you know, and very stressful, you know, for a student when they're trying to, you know, go on and learn. And, you know, when it comes to their education, it's extremely stressful, not only for the student, but like you said, the parents, the whole household. And then it is the community's responsibility. I agree. You know, at this point, we should be having, you know, more community involvement, having those hotspots put up. And I think that that's, you know, the key in this. So right now, I'm going to take a commercial break, but just sit tight and we'll have more for you right after these messages.
Succeeding in business is tough.
Working 9 to 5.
Lisa Marabwe interviews amazing people and entrepreneurs in business.
You are a great communicator and you facilitate all sorts of communication in difficult situations. So I want to hear from you. How can we put some of your tips into action?
Hear the incredible stories of people from the manufacturing, law, and countless other industries.
Every week we're going to learn a little bit more from some amazing people.
Only on Marketing That Moves You with Lisa Marabwe on WMAP Radio, the world's most amazing people.
And we're back. And I think I have my two fabulous guests on the line. Dr. Robert, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
And Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great.
All right. So we're here again today to talk about virtual education with Dr. Robert Pearson from New York Institute of Technology and Mark Alessi from the Tesla Science Center at Wardenclyffe. So we were just discussing, you know, a really important topic, which is this digital divide and how do we bridge this gap? And Dr. Pearson, you brought up something very important about getting the communities involved and how we need to, you know, create more hotspots. Mark, could you just elaborate that and on that for me on your feelings about the digital divide and some of the recommendations you may have for teachers and educators at this time?
Well, this, you know, the digital divide is something that has been a concern for quite some time, even before COVID-19, where distance learning and virtual education came to the forefront. But when you have kids coming from communities that where there is not broadband technology, or their family does not have the computer at home, does not have internet access, and schools are moving forward with curriculum online, those kids are really at risk at falling behind and never being able to catch up. So, the Tesla Science Center, as we partner with NYIT for distance learning and finding best practices for distance learning, we filled out a number of grants with local family foundations and local banks so that we can provide either the access to the laptop or the Google Chromebook or to a Wi-Fi hotspot at home so that these kids do not fall behind and have access to digital learning.
I think that's really important that the underserved communities, you know, gain that access. And it is really hard to catch up. I know even with my two children that are at home and they're at university level, watching them struggle when we have technology issues. You know, technology is your friend, but when you don't have that working, right, it can be a real bear. So understanding how we can make these hotspots accessible to everyone, I think that's a really important mission that the Tesla Science Center and the New York Institute of Technology are coming together to bring. And how has COVID, you know, kind of impacted or greatened this digital divide? How do you see that impact? And over the next couple of months, what can we do, you know, to try and bridge that?
Well, you know, first, I have to say that when it comes to providing wireless communication and technologies and making sure kids do not fall behind, that's somewhere the Tesla Science Center should be, because Nikola Tesla is one of the early forefathers of wireless technology. So I feel like we're really celebrating him by making sure this technology is accessible to all. But, you know, in terms of COVID-19, we saw at the end of the last semester, kids who and teachers who were struggling with, you know, making sure that kids did not fall behind in general. Their curriculum is so structured that if they lose months of education, it really sets them behind in their entire, educational career. And NYIT, they've been the leaders in this space. And I'll let Dr. Pearson talk a little bit more about their program, but they were creating distance learning programs long before COVID-19 and are well positioned to make sure that they could provide the tools that school districts need to ensure that the curriculum and the education is done right.
Dr. Robert, can you elaborate on the program that NYIT is offering?
Sure, thank you. Well, first of all, we've been in the business of working with e-learning in its various forms since 1984, and we've been really a pace setter in that regard. And our programs really are designed to help our students, those who enroll in our classes, understand the power of technology, but also not forget that what we're about basically is teaching students. And it is always students first for us. So we always think about what they need to learn. And in a digital world, first of all, let me explain what virtual education, digital education is not. It's not somebody sitting in front of a computer 8 hours or 6 hours or whatever a day. Just as in a typical classroom, you're not working directly under the teacher's gaze every moment. Mm-hmm. There is lots of time in the digital world when you're not working directly from a screen, when you're doing other things. In our classes, we teach our students who are going to be teachers or are teachers, we teach them to put the pedagogy and the content first. What is it that you're trying to teach students? What are the most important things that students must know and be able to do by the time they're finished? And that's what we do first. Then we teach them the concepts related to technology, how technology can expand and enrich that universe so that you're not limited to the classroom and the four walls of the school building, how to access resources, how to pick the right app and the right approach for the right topic, so that it's a careful blend of strategy and technology technique. That we think is a really good blend, and it's effective. When you just grab and go an app, when you just take something because you heard somebody from somebody else that it works or a colleague is using it, that's not productive education. You really have to think about where your students are, who they are, and how best to teach them. The second thing we do in this is we teach them that is that learning is social. Learning is not an individual process where somebody's just in a cave on their own. So no matter what context you're in, you're always working with others and you're always involved in relationships with others. And we teach our students at NYIT to build relationships with students and their parents and the caregivers so that that kind of education can flourish.
It's definitely a more collaborative approach. I think one of the most collaborative approaches to virtual education that I've actually heard of. You have a lot of really great points in there. And I had no idea that you've been doing this since 1984. So talk about being a leader in virtual education. That's very impressive. And I think it's important because there's a lot of learning in that, right? We have a lot of universities and a lot of curriculums that are just trying this out for the first time. And there's a lot of mistakes being made and tests being done. So you guys seem, NYIT seems to have it down pat. And I think that a lot of educators could really learn from you and, your leadership in this role. There are a lot of benefits in having something like this. Why don't you tell me about the September 9th sort of platform that you and the Tesla Science Center are putting together?
So thank you. So we have a program in what we call virtual education, which is designed for teachers who want to develop more expertise in that area. And it's really about that. It's not really teaching them a series of apps. We don't teach apps because we don't believe that that's valuable. What's a good app today is going to be obsolete 6 months from now, or somebody else's favorite 2 weeks from now. So we really teach an overview of the technology. We teach them how the technology can enhance and extend learning. We alert them to the resources that are out there, and we alert them to the trends that are out there in technology so that they have both a 30,000-foot view of it and a ground-level view of it. And then we have them apply their own projects, their own curriculum, to the coursework so that they can actually create units of instruction that make sense for them. It's very project-based, and it's very personalized in terms of the students that we instruct. It's called the Virtual Education Program, and our semester actually begins around the corner. It's hard to believe we're in September already, but, yes. The school bells are ringing. So it begins on September 9th, and we encourage folks to enroll. And you can enroll through the Tesla Center. Mark, isn't that right?
That's right. If you go to our website, teslasciencecenter.org, we have a section dedicated to this class and to enroll in the class. And, I think it's important to point out that, you'll get your digital learning certificate. It's part of our growing professional development programs for teachers at Tesla Science Center, where we team up with the best in class, some of the best programming that we're finding around the country, and trying to offer it virtually, which is, actually very appropriate, where this programming is done virtually for teachers. In learning how to do virtual programming and the best practices of it. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and Robert, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that school districts can actually tap into CARES Act funding in order to pay for the program for its teachers. Am I correct in that?
Yes, we believe so. That in the CARES Act, it specifically carves out funds for instruction in digital e-learning, virtual education, whatever you prefer to call it. So there could be access by districts to support their teachers as they enroll in this program, which, as Mark mentioned, is entirely online. we recognize that working professionals need flexibility in their professional development, and it's entirely online and available to people near and far.
So this is just the beginning, it seems like. It seems like it's a great launching point for teachers to get their professional development through the Tesla Science Center and the best-in-class New York Institute of Technology. And that's September 9th. Please log on to thetesliasciencecenter.org for more information and to find out how you can participate. I think this is invaluable learning. You're going to learn how to engage with peers. You'll get great feedback on how to make this a more social event. You'll learn from New York Institute of Technology and some of their best-in-class learning, since they've been doing this since 1984, which is far longer than I think any other university has participated in virtual learning. Mark, why don't you tell me how excited you are about bringing new virtual developmental programs through the Tesla Science Center to our teachers?
Well, so I hate to say something controversial. However, I felt that this change in education was coming whether COVID-19 was thrust upon us or not. This has just accelerated the need for us to start incorporating these opportunities of virtual learning into our schools. Our society is getting more and more mobile. Tesla Science Center, we deal with entrepreneurs from across the world, but definitely across the country, and mostly it's innovators that are interested in our project. Many of them I've seen, they might be coders of software, and they can work from anywhere in the world. And many of them actually, I've seen some of them, I shouldn't say many of them, but I've met some of them who actually pay a fee to a residential developer that has apartments all across the country, and they live in different cities depending on, where they want to live for a few months. And I just figure that these millennials, as they start having children, they're going to start looking for virtual opportunities of education for their children. So I just felt 15 years, 20 years from now, our education system was going to change gradually. Of course, the COVID-19 is changing drastically and very quickly. And we were already thinking about this, and we were already talking to NYIT about how to promote these opportunities in education. And now I'm glad that we were well positioned and ready to do this as it became very necessary.
I have to tell you, I love the idea of this so much, because it really tears down the walls of inequality, right, among school districts and among communities. I think it empowers educators to kind of step out of the box of maybe where they were kind of kept within, all eyes on them. Obviously, you're still going to have all eyes on them, but they could really step out and offer a more enriched program and enriched curriculum. And I love the idea that NYIT is embracing this and being able to educate the teachers on how to best do this, because there's so much good learning in this that could really be shared. And you're right, Tesla being the father of wireless technology, I can't think of two better partners to bring this program together to teach these strategies. And having such a flexible and international global reach on both sides of the fence, I know New York Institute of Technology has a phenomenal reach with international students, and being able to offer the curriculum wherever you are, having the flexibility to go and still, not feel like, oh my gosh, this is a hindrance because I'm online, I'm not going to learn as much, right, from a student's perspective or even from a parent's perspective, but to offer a more enriched program where it's even more valuable because it's online, because it offers the flexibility, because they have the ability to learn so much more, it empowers the educator. And I think that that's a really important point. Dr. Pearson, I know you have spoken with me about your international and global reach in the past. Can you talk a little bit about that for NYIT and how this virtual experience can enrich other teachers in offering these curriculums to the global reach?
Yeah, well, we're portable. We go wherever. I personally have led classes from many points around the globe. I've done this from Europe. I've done it from Hawaii, Alaska. So the format it allows for that kind of flexibility, and it allows for that kind of also personalization, because We are not wedded to a textbook. Our curriculum is developed from many, many different sources. As you know, the web continues to expand in terms of the resources it provides. And we are able to really personalize that education. In the program that we talked about, this certificate in virtual education for teachers, as I mentioned, it's project-based. It's really related to the things they actually do. So whether you're in New York or whether you're in California or whether you're in Kenya, these principles remain the same. And I could pick any other point around the globe as well. No. So we really do believe that this form of instruction really lends itself to a tremendous amount of flexibility and personalization.
So again, that's September 9th. And how long is the program? How long does that run for?
So we offer two options. The program it runs each semester just on the university calendar.
Okay.
And there are two courses. Will give you a certificate in virtual education, which is certainly an enhancement to one's resume and shows that you have a deeper expertise and can be helpful to your colleague, your school district in promoting the best practices. We also offer a more extended program of 12 credits, which would be four courses. And that leads to an advanced certificate, which is a degree that's recognized by New York State as a post-master's degree. And all of that is online.
Oh, that's fabulous. So it can go towards your post-master's degree. And there's the ability to have some of this paid for through the CARES Act, correct?
Correct.
And that information is on the TeslaScienceCenter.org. That's the TeslaScienceCenter.org. Sign up for your virtual education certificate program September 9th through December 22nd. There are two different options there for you to select from. So I just want to thank my great guests for joining me today. I think this is a really important program for any educator that's out there. Learn from the best of the best, people. Let's try and teach our teachers and make this a great experience for our entire community and for the globe. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Robert Pearson, and thank you, Mark Alessi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, have a great day.
No matter how big or small, behind every business are people.
This is brilliant. I really, truly believe that I have some of the best clients out here on Long Island.
Lisa Mirable makes sharing their stories her business.
Talking with people that I work with so closely every day and how phenomenal I think they are and then sharing them with everyone else is really special.
This is Marketing That Moves You from Vertigo Media Group.
Every week we're going to learn a little bit more from some amazing people.
With your host, Lisa Mirable, heard right here on WMAP, the world's most amazing people.